There is a legend about a small tree in the forest. It lifted up its leafy arms in prayer to God. I did say it was a legend. The tree asked that when it grew up, it would be cut down and used in building a palace where a king would dwell. And the tree wanted its beautiful grain and texture to be admired by everyone who would visit the king. Years and decades and even a century passed. The tree stood tall. It was beautiful in the forest. And finally, one day, the tree saw some woodsmen with their axes standing at its base. It was ready to be sacrificed. Surely its prayer was being answered. But the tree was very disappointed when it was not cut into large beams for a palace. Instead, it was cut into narrow, rough boards, which was used to build a stable for animals. And unexpectedly, late one night, a man and his young, expectant wife slept in that stable. And she gave birth to a beautiful, healthy boy. And people went to that stable to worship the baby as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God's answers to prayers are often unique surprises. I realize that certainly no one knows the exact date of Jesus' birth. Historians acknowledge that it was probably sometime in the spring because the shepherds had their sheep grazing. But I think that that's why God did not reveal a date to us, because people would worship the date, or they would commercialize things as we've done thus far. But we do know that Jesus was born, and we're so thankful for that, that he came to earth in the flesh, lived among men and women, and lived a sinless life. I think maybe there are times that we've spent too much time disclaiming December the 25th as the date of Jesus' birth. It seems reasonable to me that we should spend much more time applauding the fact that people are thinking about Jesus, reflecting on him, God's magnificent gift to mankind. Instead of closing doors, take the opportunity to talk to other people about Jesus' birth and his life and his death and his resurrection and ascension and his coming again. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." As was mentioned before, this is the time of the year when people enjoy giving and receiving. And if you are like most people, you might even still have a few last-minute items to buy before your shopping list is complete. You may have known some people, I have known them, that didn't even begin shopping until Christmas Eve. And I can't imagine how hectic that must be. We have our list, we have our monetary allocations, we head out to the shopping centers to try and match the two, and seldom do they match up the way that we thought they would. We do enjoy the holidays because of a family time, and because it is a time when expressions of love for family and friends flow more freely, it seems, than at other times of the year. But there are a couple of things that I think we could improve or change about the holiday season. I wish that the holidays were not so commercialized. But certainly we see that businesses have created this monster, and they love it, at least those who our stockholders and those who are in high places love it. I can't help but think of some of the poor store clerks as they have to work such hard hours and stand on their feet so long during the Christmas season. They may not love it as much. But certainly, I'm not foolish enough either to think that I could just tell my family that my gift to them for this year is going to be 15 minutes of undivided attention every day, and that they would be excited about that. I cannot imagine. And I cannot imagine if they told me that they would give me 15 minutes of undivided attention, I'd be overly excited about that either. But it would be probably more than they give me now, which would be okay. I also wish that the spirit of giving would not be a seasonal confinement. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could maintain this loving and giving spirit throughout the year? This was keenly brought to my attention one afternoon when I lived in Dallas. We lived in Dallas a number of years ago. I talked with a man who was at that time my age, and he was young. He had been unemployed for a few years. He told me that he went to numerous hospitals in the Dallas area to be one of Santa's helpers. And I said, well, that's great. I guess you have some spending money then that you can spend during the holidays. And he said, and I'll never forget it, he said, oh, I don't take time or take pay for doing that. The joy I see in the small children's eyes is all the pay I want. This was a man who had been out of work, a man who probably could have gotten paid for some of the things that he was doing, but he wouldn't take pay for it. But it didn't stop there. He also informed me that every night, about 11 o'clock at night, he went downtown Dallas and helped to feed the homeless. That was every night all year long. I'd say that that man's giving spirit was not seasonal, wouldn't you? The media has been filled with advertisements for big sales. As I said, people are flocking to the malls, fighting traffic, battling for territory in order to buy merchandise that has been marked way up so that they can put it on sale. Maybe I sound like a cynic. I assume I do there. But what would you say if I told you that you could give some choice and quality gifts which would not cost you anything? Now, don't you become a cynic. These are true gifts that you can give. And I think only the last one might cost you some money. The first that I thought of was we need to give love to someone who isn't particularly lovable. And I'm sure that we know people like that. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13, now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. I truly believe that everyone wants love and everyone needs love. There are just some people that don't know how to let their guard down. There are some people who don't know how to accept love, but we still need to love. And you can imagine the second one would be give forgiveness to one who has hurt you or and is too proud or too stubborn to ask for forgiveness. As Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Thirdly, and most importantly maybe, Yes, it is most important. Give Jesus to someone who is lost in sin. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost, Luke 19 and verse 10. And we really come together on Sunday morning in order to worship God, in order to encourage one another, build one another up. But the whole purpose of that is so that we can go out into the world and share the good news of Jesus with others. We need to give Jesus to people who are lost in sin. And then this is extremely important too. All of them, I think, are. But give encouragement to someone who is discouraged. You know, you don't have to look far to find people who are struggling, who are hurting, who are shut in, who may be sitting beside you in the pew this morning, who are discouraged. We certainly need to be people who are able to encourage others. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. And I agree with Paul there. You do a lot of that, and I so much appreciate that. But there are other people that we might could reach out to, that we might could encourage, particularly during this time of the year when they may not have anyone else to rely on. Think about people that you know that you can help by a phone call, brief visit, a card, whatever it may be. Give a phone call to someone who's shut in. Give a visit to someone who is sick or troubled. And give food to someone who is truly hungry. It amazes me how many people don't have food. Kids particularly. And it breaks your heart to see that. And you know that there are some people who have got themselves in some awful situations where they don't have jobs, they don't have anybody to turn to. But notice what Jesus said. He said he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left, and then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. Jesus saying this. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. Certainly we can help other people, and we should help other people. Jesus went on to say, I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will say, when? When did we see you like that? He said, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. I also encourage you in this season of giving to give yourself a gift. Certainly, the greatest gift that you can give yourself is to draw near to God. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. James chapter 4 and verse 8. You know, when we think about God and how He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to you and me, for your sins, for my sins, for the sins of all who will accept Him. What a marvelous gift that was. We think of Jesus from the time He was in His mother's womb, and then He was in the stable, and then He was growing up, and He was in the temple at 12 years old, and He lived this perfect life, and then He ascended to heaven. All of that is encompassed in the life of our Savior Jesus Christ. And listen to what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by His wounds you were healed. Not a greater gift than that, is there? Do you really believe that it is more blessed to give than to receive? God gave Himself to you freely. And the question for you and for me this morning, will we freely give ourselves to Him and to His children and to those who are in the world who are in need? Greatest gift of all. You've got a gift list there for you, and I hope you will fill it. I hope you will share with others the message of Jesus Christ. If there's anyone here this morning who needs to respond to the invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ, whether it is to be baptized into Christ, or whether you need the prayers of this congregation to strengthen you and to encourage you, if we can help you in any way, we ask you to come while we stand and sing.